You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Cam Schlittler dominating his hometown team, the Boston Red Sox, pushing the Yankees to the ALDS.
Just insane, insane performance. Clutch, dominant, scintillating, amazing, all time. You're going to remember this for a long time here. This was really, really good. 11 pitches over 100 miles an hour or more. And listen, that's the obvious stuff. You watch how many times can we butcher this poor kid's name? Cam Schlittler. It's a late night, man. I mean, dude. You know, you're watching the post game, you get to bed late, you get up early. Cam Schlittler, my bad. We all know that he was an absolute beast. But, you know, what I feel, and you feel great about that, but what I feel encouraged about, bigger picture for the Yankees as we start to push it forward from last night to the weekend, is that they have more balance. They've got more options that they can deploy from the bench. They've got some more athletes. I thought the defense made some very clutch, understated, and underrated plays. But Volpe had two of them. McMahon was sick. That's not understated, but it was a sick play. Even really in all three games, Bellinger cutting balls off in the gap or down the line in left field. So this has the makings of being a beautiful run. We'll see. And there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. But without Schlittler last night, there is no Toronto in all probability tomorrow. So here we go.
Yeah, obviously it was an all-time dominating performance for me, though. Look at the series as a whole, and the Yankees didn't beat themselves. And that's a type of a brand of baseball that we haven't seen at all from this Yankee team in years, including this regular season. So the fact that you saw for a change the opposition making those mistakes, not being able to catch a simple fly ball in left field or one in center field last night, being bad on the base pass, not being able to get to a ball and knock it down in front of them. The Red Sox did that all series long in this three-game series. The Yankees played a clean series from start to finish. So they got beat in game one. You tip your cap to the better pitcher in Crochet and then obviously Chapman. Game two, it was the Yankees game, tight game, but the Yankees obviously prevailed and they made the plays on the base paths and defensively to be able to win that tight game. And then game three last night, same thing. Took advantage of the Red Sox mistakes and they outpitched them. Traditionally, the Yankees, when they do win these series, they do it with the bats. That was not the case. Now, I do think that's going to have to change against Toronto, where I expect it to be a more offensive series, and I expect that it will. I think the Yankees are better than the Red Sox. I think that they're better than the Blue Jays. Now they did it with the Red Sox. Now we got to go see them do it against Toronto.
I always thought they were better than the Red Sox. Didn't feel that way about Toronto most of the season, as you know. But, of course, a three-game series, you know, against the Red Sox has you terrified here. I mean, think about if we would have told you guys, and Sal, think about, you know, for you to react to this. If we would have said, hey, Crochet's going to do, before the series, Crochet's going to do this in game one. And, oh, yeah, by the way, in three games, the Yankees will hit two home runs.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have lost.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, not the crochet thing, but the fact that, like, I thought the Yankees were going to have to hit some home runs, and it's great that they didn't. Red Sox had no offense and sloppy defense as well, and the Yanks, for a change, took advantage of it. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to the football a little bit later on as well. Nick Costos coming up at 1240. Perfect Parlay Pick Segment 120. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ralph is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
What's happening? I do want to talk about Boone, guys. Just give me a second on the radar, the radar situation. Hey, you think for 1 minute that these guys are corking it up to 100 miles an hour as easily as they say they're doing?
I do.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't.
I would. You know something? I would take about 4 or 5 miles per hour off of their tally, and then possibly you have the accurate figure.
Yeah, hold on, Ralph. Well, I respect your opinion, but how do you come to that conclusion? How hard do you think Nolan Ryan threw 50 years ago?
A long time ago, Warren Spahn, right?
Yeah.
You know the name, I'm sure.
Of course.
And I do want to talk about Boone. Give me a second.
You.
I just want to say this. They actually clocked him by a motorcycle.
I know.
And you saw this. This is a very well-known situation here. That was more accurate than the stupid radar guns these days. To me, I think that was more accurate. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a meteorologist
like you
had on before. I'm just a guy that's observed. Also, I had a pretty darn good arm. I could never cork it up to more than 89, 88. And I wasn't a pitcher. I was a shortstop.
Throwing pretty darn hard. The old tales, we all have them. Keep them moving.
Did you pass
that? Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? here's the thing. Here's the thing about Boone. You know, now he's a genius, of course, right? Because, you know, he won the ballgame because his pitcher went out and threw an all-time game last night. So now he's a freaking genius. But here's the thing. If everything is scripted, guys, and Boone is out there just paying homage to the guy upstairs, I'm talking about the GM, and he's making all the calls. So now we give him credit when before we gave him nothing but blame. Here's my final thought. When the ball players do it for you, the manager's more or less a figurehead these days. They don't do very much. If you have the horses, you win the games.
Understood, but they're also, and thank you for the call, Ralph, there also is something to the fact that Boone's lineup in game one to me was atrocious, and I get that, like, they're going to say, well, yeah, it's against Crochet, so, okay, but your lefties could have looked bad. The righties that you put in there, it didn't work. I don't care about Rosario 6-for-9 against Crochet because it meant nothing come game one. He didn't do the job. So I'm not going based on past performance, and you could say, well, last night, okay, well, Ben Rice was in the lineup. He looked awful. Yeah, okay, he looked awful. Yankees still won. To me, it was the right lineup. It's not about the result. It was still the right lineup to put out there. Here's an idea. Play your best guys. I think they learned from their mistake in game one. I would be surprised if, now, I mean, maybe Schuble would be the only other guy that could maybe have Boone even think about going to that heavy of a right-handed lineup. But also, how about the ability, BT, to switch for Goldschmidt later on? Pinch hit against Chapman, boom, base hit.
Yep.
Play defense later on.
Rosario, like, base hit,
yeah,
big one.
Having Caballero off the bench, like, it's just nice to have those options on the bench as well.
There's no question, which is why they're more dangerous and deeper. Now, listen, here's the thing. Back to Boone and Rich. Appreciate the call. Like, nobody's sitting here saying, and I'm a Boone defender, and I have been for a while. I'm a Boone believer, probably a better way for me to say it. You guys can say I'm a Boone defender if you want. That's fine. But I've never once said I view Aaron Boone to be some baseball savant or some baseball genius, even though I respect his family's lineage for the multiple generations. I'm not saying he's a genius. What I am saying, he's not the idiot that a lot of you make him out to be.
Right.
Nor is he the lackey, you know, button pusher, without any sort of, you know, middle-of-the-road common ground where he does incorporate some gut. I just think it's been a real unfair characterization of a guy, if you want to be real about this, has really probably had the weakest roster of any Yankee manager probably since Stump Merrill. I think Buck had a better one. I know Joel Torre had a better one. And Girardi had a better one outside of this year. So to me, all the wins he's cranked out regular season, I don't just gloss over that or minimize it because I don't think that he's been dealt pocket aces out of the chute.
Mm.
And I've never thought that.
Yeah, I mean, but he's always had the best player in the world on his team.
It's not basketball. It's not LeBron. Yeah. It's not Kareem.
I mean,
it's not Magic. It's not Bird.
But that's a pretty good starting point. He also has had, I mean, they invested a ton of money in that starting rotation. When has he ever not had an ace? I mean, think about it. You've had Gerrit Cole for how long here? You've had Fried now to replace him. I mean, you know.
When has he had a third baseman? When is he at a left fielder?
I'm just saying.
He's at three different closers. When is he at a first baseman?
Let's not make it like Aaron Boone's taking the Pittsburgh Pirates to the postseason.
I'm not saying that.
Or even the Mets, for that matter.
I'm not saying that, but that's why I say that there's common ground. I mean, the Yankees haven't had a third baseman until, and McMahon's not Nettles, but they haven't had a third baseman since Alex Rodriguez or Andujar for one season. I mean, Luke Voit hit some home runs, and what the hell happened to Luke Voit? They haven't had a first baseman since Teixeira was at his prime. I mean, they've had Didi was okay. Volpe's hitting 210, can't get on base. They've had nine different catchers, nine different left fielders, nine different center fielders, and three different closers. So let's not make it seem like Boone was, I'm going to, pocket aces. Joe Torre was handed, and all respect to Joe, a roster because of Buck and because of Stick Michael that was ready to win. Give him credit because he won four times. Girardi had the remnants of that championship DNA. He won once, probably should have won more. I don't think Boone has ever had a great roster. That's not to say that he's Miller Huggins, Al. I'm not saying that.
One thing Boone hasn't shown yet, and to me, you started to see it these last two games, is the correct gut feel. Like, I call him a data applicator. I was the one who started that term, and I know he was bothered by that this many years ago going back. And there's reasons why I came up with it. He wasn't the only one. All these guys now. So I think Boone, while data applicator can be deemed disrespectful and say, well, he's just a button pusher, I think too many times he's managed, not because of what somebody told him to do, but because he's going off of all that information and sticks to it and trusts the information sometimes more than his gut or his eyes. And he's better than that because he is a baseball lifer. And I think throughout his postseason career with the Yankees, there hasn't been, to me, enough of the better side of those decisions. Whereas the last two games, now you could say it coincides with him having the best roster that he's had. Fair enough. But I think if you watch Aaron Boone manage these last two nights after what was a hideous game one from the top on down with the Yankees management, as far as roster construction, lineup construction, all that stuff, the last two games to me showed that Boone has a much better feel in him than what he's shown since he's been here.
Okay, now think about this, Al. So the decisions that were deemed wrong, and he certainly made wrong decisions, of course, everybody has, but that were driven by the computer, whatever it might be, did they become the wrong decisions because they were simply the wrong decisions and there was no gut incorporation, or he didn't have the horses to make those moves pay off?
Well, let's just use
this
series.
Which is kind of my point.
Like, see, for me in this series, and this is my point here with Boone specifically, and you know I don't go based on results, so it's not that. I'm consistent with this. I would have left Max Fried in game one. Boone, to me, was too quick to say, well, if we're going to get Weaver in, this is the spot in the lineup. Like, he's thinking with that analytical mind. Whereas with Rodon the next night, even though others had an issue with it, I didn't. I like that he said, screw the numbers. My guy said, I want more. Screw even my eyes to a certain extent because I know that he's tiring. I'm going to ride it out with my guy who wants more. He gave him two more batters than maybe he should have in some people's mind. Rodon got let those guys on, went to the bullpen, and that's, to me, was the perfect time to do it. And then the result showed that, you know, the bullpen got out of it. Right or wrong, I like that he was managing not by the numbers and trusting his gut a little bit more. So there were two specific examples, one where he went one way, the other, and then when he went, I'm sticking with him, not just results-based. And then again, last night, same thing. He could have just said, well, all right, you're done after seven. His feel is like, this guy's throwing strikes. He's on fire. I don't care about the pitch count. He followed up game two's gut decision with keeping Rodon in, whether people liked it or not, with another gut decision last night with Schittler. That's what I'm saying for the Yankees manager.
Okay, now we could also sit here and this we'd be presiding over a Yankee funeral if Rafaela gets that bunt down and Cruz doesn't have it or whatever. You know, the Yankees are done in two, and the move that's the gut move that's lauded for keeping Rodon in there. Now, I was okay with one batter.
That's
after
my
that.
Opinion, though.
I understand what you're saying. I got you.
But the results could have went the other way.
Understood. Like, the one batter, to me, I did like that. Because now, was it because of maybe he was overly aware of the criticisms from Fried? We'll ask him. We'll never know the answer. Well, maybe we will get the answer. I don't know. But the second batter that he got, I thought was the wrong baseball move. And I do think at that point he should have trusted his eyes more. But the point is, you know, when it works out, I think that too many people did. This is one of your big points. And I get this. Too many people, they change their opinions, like they feel one way and they're good about it. And then when they get the wrong result, they react negatively.
Correct.
That's dumb. Like, that's inconsistent. That's a bad philosophy. If you're going to play blackjack and the dealer's got a six and you got a six, let the dealer do some work. Bang out the queen, bang out a king, 26 bust, take the money. Anything other than that is a dumb philosophy. It doesn't mean that you can't split or double down. Well, actually, you have to at that point. But that the dealer can't pull the five card or a six card 21, but it wouldn't mean that you made the wrong move. So that's, you know, there's a lot there.
Isaac is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Isaac?
I miss blackjack. That's what's really there.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Yeah,
BT. I'm running down to Atlantic City now. Thank you.
For there you go, man. Nice.
You remember when we went years ago?
Yes, I do.
That was a long time ago.
It was me. One second, Isaac.
Me,
yes.
You, Moose.
And Moose was there.
And Josh. Was it Josh?
No, that's my buddy Frank. It was after the Jets did the send-off party Rex Ryan.
No, you don't remember. Who's the
Did Josh show up too?
There was a dude, Josh, from SNY.
I don't remember Josh.
You, me, Moose, and I'm pretty sure Josh.
I got us the room.
But that was before I even knew you. I went with you and Moose were doing the wheelhouse.
Me and Moose coordinated it. I got the rooms. And by the way, not to put this out, but I think that's... I remember having a drink with you at Harrah's. Not that you were crying, but you were upset because I think you had just gotten fired from FAN. I think that was the timing of it.
It might have been. Yeah.
I really think it was.
I was at SNY, so that happened after.
And here I am trying to give you good advice. I really was. I was trying to help you out.
Go ahead, Isaac.
That's funny, dude.
That's fine. Thank you. Like this, I agree with you, Sal, with the Fried and Rodon stuff. And now 2 points on the Yankees pitching based off that is my dad always says pitching wins World Series. Every time he looks, just what's the starting pitcher doing. So two things. One is about the Yankees past, which we see again. The Yankees cannot hit dominating pitching like we saw in game one. We tip our cap to Crochet. How many years are we going to have to tip our cap to a good starting pitcher? Mm-hmm. That's one. And the second point is in the ninth inning, why did Boone go to Bednar? I was fine with it. It worked great. But maybe I was thinking Weaver should get in there.
Weaver?
Not such a high-pressure situation. Yeah, just to get him right. It's a 4-run lead. Go warm up, which we don't see in baseball
anymore.
I'm not
messing around with the mojo with Weaver. I actually thought that for a second, too, Isaac. I did. I'm like, all right, you got 4-run lead, man. If you're ever going to do it, put it. No.
Yeah, at least warm up two people like we used to see in baseball. Go pick up batter by batter with Weaver. Uh-huh. He walks the first guy. All right, Weaver, you're out. Let's go. Bednar, you're in.
You
can't do that really anymore, but face the minimum of a three. See how he does. And then, it's a 4-run lead. Uh-uh. You get him right on the ninth inning.
Sorry to cut you off there, Isaac, and thank you for the call.
Weaver.
We do have some breaking news here as it pertains to the Mets, BT. More on the coaching changes.
Okay, so, what do you got?
Anthony DeComo of MLB.com, who covers the Mets. Sources, the Mets are going to have a major coaching shakeup. Among those who will not be on next year's staff, pitching coach Jeremy Hefner, hitting coaches Jeremy Barnes and Eric Chavez.
That's a massive shakeup.
Those are all, and this is
pretty
on top of Gibbons.
Yep.
Really, it
seems coach.
Like the only one who's staying is Richardson at first base.
Yeah, and he's the only one who probably should.
At least for now.
I mean, they didn't get thrown out stealing since June.
Hefner's the big one here because he's been here a long time, and he's well-respected and looked at as a plus pitching coach.
Interesting.
This, to me, is the right move.
I think they need a shake-up, man.
Yeah. Clean house. But now, see, I feel like it's always going to be a collaborative effort here. Stearns and Mendy together. And I guess I'm okay with that. I want Mendy to have some say here. Not just, we're going to put all these other pieces around you, and then you go be the manager. It's got to be a collaborative effort with the idea that Mendy's going to be here long beyond this year. Not just as a lame duck head coach, as all these moves are a warning shot to him. Something needed to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly a lot has been changed here with the Mets now.
Yeah.
Almost everybody out. Third base coach Sarbaugh, out. Gibbons, out. Hefner, out. Chavez, Barnes, out. All but basically Mendy and Richardson, as we say, it seems for now are safe.
Do you think that they go outside of the organization at all?
Yeah, they're going to have to.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Four managers just got whacked. Now, I don't know if Melvin or Boats, he's not coming to be
Ron
second
Washington.
Lieutenant. I mean, that's the move that you have to explore. You have to get one of those guys next to Mendoza.
Yeah, I also would want Willie, though. I keep saying Willie because...
I love Willie, so I'm sold on Willie Randle.
And he's also close with Mendy, or at least I think that say that again, Hoff?
There's already a name being floated out.
Who?
For what?
For being
Wally Backman. That's what I'm
going to go. Oh, God.
Go back on that train.
Honestly, they should go for Bochy, but they have somebody in-house that I believe that's already going to get a nod to come up here.
Who?
J.P. Arencibia, who's down AAA.
For what?
I think bench coach.
I'm not doubting the story.
I already heard that.
You got to get a veteran. Get in some. Like, get Yoda. Get you Don Zimmer. Get somebody that
for
knows the game
coach,
from every
JP
angle.
That's what I believe.
The bench?
That's what I thought I saw.
I don't like it for the bench. I mean, I'm not going to dispense. I'm sure he's a good baseball man.
Look.
The bench coach has to have some sage experience. I don't know. How old is he,
but
Huff?
If that's the case, though, then why are you going for a young manager? Like, if the bench coach has to be this experienced guy, then why are you getting a young manager?
Well, because then you get the best of both worlds. You get the youthful presentation from the manager, and you get that wisdom from the bench coach.
Wasn't Carlos Mendoza the bench coach for the Yankees for all those years?
Right,
he
was young at the time.
To Hobbs' point, why not just hire Bochy to be the manager? If you're going to do, like, if you want an experienced guy.
Well, they should, but they're not.
Yeah, well,
Bochy's not coming to be number two.
I would think Bochy's going to go to the Giants. It seems that that's the case. They fired their guy. But anyway, who can't worry about Bochy or anybody like that.
Interesting.
I don't even care who it is, because what are we talking about here? Bench coach, third base coach, like, you got a $15 billion payroll, and I'm going to worry about blaming Mike Sarbaugh because the Mets didn't make the playoffs? No, it's on the guys, but this is going to be a fresh start, which they needed. I don't care who the names are, as long as they are picked, at least in part, by Carlos Mendoza. That to me is imperative.
That's less important to me, but the fact that it's going to be in terms of Mendoza picking up, but the fact that there's new juice, new blood, you need that. Now, again, it's always going to be Boone, Mendoza. It's always going to be the central figures, you know, Mike Brown. But if the third base coach was better, you probably win three more games. Yeah. And then you're probably in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was
so
awful.
It matters.
Yeah, I mean, also if Pete Alonso could throw a baseball or catch one, maybe they win a game or two and find themselves in the postseason.
I heard that there's also a vacancy in the pitching lab.
Don't be a jerk. See, this is... come on now. It's a bad joke. You give the bad jokes and then BT doesn't get them and then I got to clean up.
I get them. They got to be funny to laugh.
Yeah, that was a great joke.
I get it. I mean, Hoff is generally a funny guy and that was a little flat.
You were waiting on serious stuff and you could see the look at his face where I got another name for you.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, there's an opening in the pitching lab. No, come on, Hoff.
I could have given you the courtesy chuckle, to be fair. I probably could have thrown you one of those. But he's trying.
I've given you plenty of those.
No, you handled it.
Yeah, no, you do.
BT, you handled it the right way, but I was then confused.
Wasn't that funny?
No, but then I'm like, does BT not understand what he's saying?
I get it.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted
to make sure.
Come on. Come on. What's there not to get?
Get it, though.
Yeah, well, that's different.
I'm not sure I got it. I still don't get it.
I didn't laugh either.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about.
So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There are multiple reports now saying that the end of Hefner, Chavez, Barnes, Sarbaugh, John Gibbons, I mean, all but really Richardson, who had a successful year as a first base coach, also on bases, specifically Juan Soto. So sounds like he's going to stay on. And Mendy obviously not going anywhere. And then everybody else around him. We got that going on, BT. We got football coming up with Nick Costos in a little bit. We'll get to our picks later on as well. Big game for the Giants here, trying to stay relevant as far as their season goes, win total wise against a winnable game or against a team that's beatable in the Saints. And obviously the Yankees forefront here, where they beat the Red Sox last night in three, heading to take on the Blue Jays in Toronto. Game one tomorrow afternoon.
Going to be a fun weekend, hopefully a productive one for the Yankees. But one more thought here on Mendoza, and nothing's really coming into my head. I mean, so now the groundwork is laid here, okay? So if he has a rough year, he's out, and he's out probably midseason. When was the last time, I mean, would it be Art Howe or, you know, one of those Bucky Dents or Dallas Green or Stump Merrill from a Yankee perspective? When was the last time a New York baseball manager, Yankees or Mets, was going to be judged so critically in April and May? Think about that. Boone has always been about the postseason. Buck didn't have that pressure and that stress there. Willie didn't have it early. Remember, he got whacked out west at 2 in the morning, that dopey move by the team at that point, which was weak. I mean, Mendoza is going to be on the firing line if they don't play well right away. That's going to be the theme.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't the case with Girardi. We knew the Yankees wanted him out eventually, but they let it ride out. They get the Game 7 of the ALCS. Boone has been on some hot seats, but maybe that's more from us than in reality.
And never in April, yeah, which is my point.
Yeah, talking about, like, this is not a fan saying, no. Hey, if men, this is a, this is, you know, the hierarchy saying, mm-hmm. if not just flat out the owner, basically saying, and he hasn't said that, but we know the reality.
Didn't
here.
Have to.
Exactly, didn't have to. He doesn't get the job done. Mendy's going to be on the outside looking in rather short order. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's happened. Buck in 2022 had great success. 2023 was bad. Then they decided to move on, and there were different reasons for that. Stearns came in.
Yeah,
new
sure,
regime.
Sure. But again, yeah. Early to start a season. Like, you go to Port St. Lucie, February, the theme is, all right, what did the Mets do to change the roster? What did the Mets do to get better? What did the Mets do to change the mojo?
I don't know, and I don't know if that's a healthy...
I don't think it is. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, I don't... Now, again, Stearns, I know, loves Mendoza. And I don't know this from talking to Stearns. I know this from watching Stearns talk. Like, he's the one who hired him. There's good reason to believe in Carlos Mendoza. I truly believe he's a really good baseball guy, smart man. I think they just got caught up in the raised expectations, team not having enough. So there's a combination of a lot of things that went sideways this year. Team raised expectations, not ultimately having enough as far as the pitching staff goes, getting tighter and tighter and tighter as the losing kept continuing and just didn't find a way out of it.
And also making some bad moves. Got to incorporate that. I know you know that, but we have to say that.
I think a part of why he made the bad moves is because he was tight. Like, to me, he was going too by the book. That's not what made Mendoza. Mendoza was loose, easy, and free a year ago.
Yeah.
That's what made him successful. He wasn't worried about being criticized. He was going by his gut, his baseball moves. And when you're doing that in year one, he didn't know any better. Maybe he didn't know any better because it was first time managing, so he didn't give a crap. He was being himself, whether it's against the analytic department or what, he was being himself, and it was working. Then when you have that success, now all of a sudden it's, hey, there's a bullseye on you here, meaning the teams are coming for you, the expectations are raised. Mm-hmm. You've got to go win a World Series is the expectation, and that can naturally, human element part, BT, get into you and start impacting how you operate. And I think that that's exactly what happened with Mendoza.
I got a really important question for you. What do you think the tone is, if any? I mean, it could just dissipate. There's no issues with Lindor and Soto next season.
Is that going to resurface?
Is that going to be a story?
When you say
just
tone,
the way is it going to be a story? Forget about tone. Is it going to be a storyline? Because that crept into season this year.
Well, I mean, it was a story.
So is it a storyline next year? And if it is, I would imagine it would be louder and worse if it's still there.
I don't believe it's going to be louder and worse. First of all, whether they love each other or whatever, it doesn't even matter. Like, what matters is the results on the field. Now, if their relationship was impacting the results, and which I don't believe is the case, then something would have to be done about it. I don't believe, whether I would trade Lindor. I don't believe the Mets are going to trade Lindor. I'm not so sure somebody would take him. I'm not so sure he would accept the trade. I don't think the Mets have the gumption to do it. I would. I don't think they're going to do it. So let's assume Lindor and Soto are back. I don't think that it's this big, oh, they can't figure it out. I do think it's on everybody, those two guys, the manager, the other players, to figure out how to maximize everybody's ability and get the team playing together and loose and having fun.
See, one thing I worry about, like, if you're not going to change the manager, which could change the energy and the morale and just the feel, and you're not going to be able to radically change the players outside of having a few better pitchers, which they have to, like, where does the transformation come from?
Well, just because they can't trade Lindor doesn't mean they can't radically change things.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, but if Pete's back, I mean, that's
but
big money.
But there's no guarantee that he's back.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If Pete's back, that's big money. Soto's big money. Lindor's big money. Obviously, Diaz can opt out, so that could be big money. Nimmo's going to be a contract. It's going to be very tough to deal. All the things you and I have talked a lot about, I don't know. I mean, is it going to be a Kyle Tucker? Is it going to be a Bellinger flirtation? I don't know. I'm not saying there's none.
Yeah,
Schwarber is one. I'm not saying there's none, but it's going to be interesting to see what power. Last year, the power move came with Soto in terms of a great hitter. What's the power move for an upgrade as a player, but also a guy who's going to, I don't know, enhance the chemistry?
Could be. Well, I'm not worried about the chemistry.
It matters this year. They didn't have good chemistry this year.
Yeah, but that's not, to me, that's not why they lost.
Well, I'm not saying that's why they lost, but it certainly didn't help them ending the losing streak or getting right.
Why would that be a thing before getting, I don't know, a pitcher?
That's why I say you could have multiple new pitchers, and McClain's going to be a starter from the get-go.
Maybe they trade him.
So I think that they've got to change, trade McClain.
Yeah, why not? I'm saying if you could get Paul Skenes and trade Nolan McClain, you wouldn't do that?
Of course you do. You do it for Skenes.
I'm thinking big picture.
Wrecking ball, which is what I said.
Well, what I would be doing is looking for the best options out there, obviously, in the rotation that aren't going to cost you $200 and $300 million contracts. So to do that, you're going to have to give up prospects. Vientos, Beatty, McClain, Sproat, Tong, Jet Williams, I don't care who they are. Now, this is on Stearns to identify who they value. Obviously, he didn't with Gilbert, trade him to the Giants, whatever. They have to identify the ones that they believe are keepers, whether it's Benj in center field eventually, whether it's Jet Williams at second. I don't know. McClain may be untouchable, whatever. Or go get, use those guys to go get Alcantara or Skenes, or maybe Skenes' pipe dream. Obviously, he's not
really. I don't know. I mean, is he going to sign a $500 million deal in Pittsburgh? Probably not. They're going to trade him at some point.
I'm saying that a lot of people just be like, well, you can't trade McClain. You're not trading Tong. You're not trading Sproat.
Then you're not getting Skenes.
Correct. So you need to, and there aren't just the dominant free agents.
No.
Nor would I do that.
There's not this year.
Like, you can't just do that every single year. That's not a recipe for success either. So they're going to have to make significant trades. McNeil, Vientos, Nimmo potentially. I floated Lindor, potentially letting Alonso walk and maybe replacing him with Kyle Schwarber's bat. Like, there are a lot. John Harper wrote about that.
I saw that.
Yeah, so there are a lot of possibilities here. I wouldn't worry about the chemistry now when they still haven't even constructed a team yet.
It's interesting, too, the different spotlight. You know, after the 23 season, the spotlight was different. New manager, new energy. Yeah. Okay. And it was fresh, and it was new, and the Mets played, they gave their fans a really good season. This year, coming in, the spotlight was, all right, you guys were almost in the World Series, you got Soto, and now it's a different focus. Now it's an even different focus, like, okay, how did you repair whatever the hell happened in 2025? So it's not going to be with three or four new coaches or one new arm. It's going to have to be a lot, which is why I said a wrecking ball. When I look at what the Mets
need to do. Well, they took a wrecking ball to the coaching staff. That's a start.
Yeah. That's a good start. And I remember you and I said this to you the day after the Mets season. So that Monday, I said, listen, I don't care if you got $20 billion in the bank. Your tolerance for being embarrassed is low. When you get to Cohen's level as a business person successfully, you don't want to be embarrassed. And I was very curious how he would react. It wasn't immediate. Which I think is smart. He mulled it over for a couple of days. He spoke to people I'm sure he trusts, like Stearns and others. And he said, all right, we got to do a lot. And credit to them for doing a lot, because they had to.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Bet or You Bet weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and You Bet or You Bet countdown to kickoff, Sundays, 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Also, my favorite show on the Fan. I listen to it every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9, where Nick does his Football Sunday show, the preview. We welcome in Nick Costos, big Yankee fan. Go ahead, get to it, Nick, the Yankees. Get it out of your system.
Well, yeah, great to be on. Sal, it was pretty awesome last night, right? Watching Cam Schlittler absolutely dominate the Red Sox. I know you as a Mets fan took extreme pleasure watching one New York team have success this October.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was awesome.
Enjoyed every second of it. What's the betting market here for the Yanks? Is there a value to get them World Series, to get them against the Blue Jays, just to get to the World Series? Where are we at as far as betting on the Yanks? Because I do think they're going to win it all at this point. I want to make some money off it at least.
I don't think they're going to win it all, but I do think they're going to win the American League pennant. And I said that on You Better You Bet this week, that if the Yankees get past the Red Sox, and I'll be honest, and I give you so much credit because you are an optimistic Yankee fan. And I feel like I'm a super pessimistic Yankee fan. And I felt like they were going to lose to the Red Sox. And when they lost game one, I thought they were absolutely finished. So I'm really happy that I was wrong and they were able to win the final two games. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of my take was, you know, if you're able to beat Boston, I do think they're going to win the American League. And they are a pretty sizable favorite against the Blue Jays in the divisional series. -155, Jays +130. Obviously, the Jays with home field advantage and a pitching advantage in game one, assuming it's Luis Gil for the Yankees. I don't think the Blue Jays have announced their game one starter.
Gausman.
But I do think
it is Gausman.
Oh, it's Gausman. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So
the
Blue
Jays against us.
They have the advantage in game one. I think the Yankees have the advantage in every game past game one. So I think the Yankees will get past Toronto. Seattle will be tough, but I think the Yankees have more upside than Seattle does, and I think Seattle rolls over the Tigers in that American League Divisional Series.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies-Dodgers, if we're being objective, is probably the World Series. Like, those are the two best teams, Phillies and Dodgers. The Dodgers are a slight favorite in the series, minus 120, Phillies plus 100. I know the Brewers, like, had the best regular season, but given Milwaukee's track record in the postseason and their, not with a ton of stars, but with a bunch of players all contributing, I don't know how that's going to play in October. So I do like the Brewers over the Cubs, but I'll take the Phillies or the Dodgers over Milwaukee in the NLCS. And I'll be rooting for the Yankees, obviously, in the World Series if and when they get there. But I think the Yankees would be a deserved underdog against either Philadelphia or Los Angeles.
All right, before we get to the foot, let's get this out of the way. What, mushrooms? What, cream corn, spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprout? What sides are you getting? Because there's no way I'm going to win this bet that we had on before the first game for the Jets. What do you want with your steak?
Well, do you want to table this until next week? Because the Jets are going to win on Sunday.
Okay, keep going. Let's go. I'm listening.
Yeah, you thought that Monday night too.
Okay. If Braylon Allen doesn't fumble the ball at the goal line on the opening drive of the game, obviously a lot else happened past that, but you take, like, the crowd is silent the rest of that game if Braylon Allen scores on that play. So I did like the Jets. I actually think that the turnovers and the penalties and the fact that the defense can't tackle, I'm curious if you guys agree, masked. I thought the offense played very well in the game. I thought Justin Fields actually played well in the game. I thought Garrett Wilson was all. I should have had two touchdowns.
Garrett Wilson was phenomenal. Yeah.
That OPI on the touchdown was so ticky-tack. I thought it was terrible. So I thought the Jets offense played really well. The Cowboys defense, Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards against them and then got benched a week later. So I certainly think the Jets can have success on the Cowboys defense. And I am actually, I'm stunned that this betting market has not moved. So at BetMGM right now, and I have it up in front of me here. So Dallas is a 2.5-point road favorite. The total's 47.5. So we'll see, guys, what Dallas's injury report is today.
Yep.
Yesterday, four out of Dallas's five starting offensive linemen are either out or not practicing. All three Tylers, they have three first-round Tylers on the offensive line, all didn't practice, and Cooper Beebe, the center, is on injured reserve. Terrence Steele, the right tackle, might be their only regular starting offensive lineman that plays on Sunday. And I get it, like, Dak Prescott's playing at an MVP level, he's been great. I think they stink, and the team stinks. And if they're going to have one starting offensive lineman, I know Jermaine Johnson's not playing, whatever. I'll take the Jets plus the points, BT. I think the Jets get their first win of the season.
I hope you're right, but I feel like you're glossing over just how deficient the Jets defense is. The Jets defense stinks. It's the secondary and the corners. Carter's hurt, even in the slot. Jets defense is awful.
Do you have any faith that if Dallas's offensive line is basically, like, entirely decrepit, that the Jets can get any kind of pressure on Dak Prescott? Because they're going to win this game.
I do. I actually like the over more because I think both teams are going to score.
I don't dislike that. Now, again, like, maybe it hurts Dallas if they can't block up front, but the Cowboys have been an over bonanza this year where, you know, they score a ton. And let's look at Sunday night against the Packers, 80 total points in that game. So you are right about that.
All right, how about the one team that's still relevant in this town as far as the Giants go? You know, football goes here. The Jackson Dart experience was a rousing success. You don't think so? You're going to disagree with that, Ken?
Well, they won, and, like, that's what matters. I don't think, like, I don't even know if it's his fault once Neighbors goes out. They have no receivers. I don't think, like, I'm not trying to be a hater. Like, they got the win, and he's gutsy, and he's gritty, and whatever. I don't think he played that great. I thought they were very lucky to win the game, candidly. And once Showalt left the game, like, the Chargers had no hope of protecting Justin Herbert. Now, maybe that happens again here, Sal, against Spencer Rattler and the Saints.
You know, I'm not so sure myself. My gut is telling me that, because everybody now is going to be on the Giants, and, oh, they can't lose this game, and, oh, they're underdogs, they're going to beat the Saints. I'm not so sure that I'm going to go that way. I'd be curious to get your feel and the betting market. Like, that line initially does not make a lot of sense, especially considering the way the Giants' defense played. Forget about the rookie quarterback for a second. Defense looked legit. Saints are not very good. I know they've been somewhat competitive. How do you see that line there with this game?
Yeah, so on Sunday night last week, and I do a decent amount of betting on Sunday night when games end for the week to come, and I, like, make my point spreads on Sunday night for the week to come. Not that I have to be always be correct, but I think my stuff's pretty good. The Giants opened a favorite, and, like, no way. Whether they win or not, Like, they can never be favored in the game with neighbors out. So they opened -1.5. I saw that and immediately was like, there's no way. The Saints have to be favored in the game. I actually bet a little New Orleans just to grab that number because I felt like it was crazy. So now we're at New Orleans -2, and I think we're correct with the point spread of the game. The Saints have one of the best home field advantages in the league in the Superdome. Like, the noise is crazy. Now, New Orleans does have a couple issues. We'll see what their final injury report holds right now. But one of their guards, Trevor Penning, and their other starting guard, Cesar Ruiz, both didn't practice yesterday, and Ruiz looks likely to miss this game, which means that if Dexter Lawrence, and I don't think the practice report has come out today for the Giants. I looked right before we came on because he missed Wednesday, Thursday with an illness. If he's practicing today, and he's going to play on Sunday, and I think he's going to play on Sunday, like, they should absolutely wreck the interior of this New Orleans offensive line and really impact Spencer Rattler, who has not won yet as a starting quarterback in 11 starts in the NFL. So I think it's a coin flip game. I worry about the Giants' inability to move the football here now that, you know, it's just Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson and then the poo-poo platter, emphasis on poo-poo, of Jalen Hyatt and Bo Collins. I don't know how this is going to go offensively for them. Make me pick the winner of the game. I would begrudgingly take the Saints for right now, but we can revisit this on Sunday morning when we have more information.
Well, listen, this is what I find really interesting here. I feel like people are saying, the Saints. Like, the Saints are as bad as the Titans. Like, the Titans to me are...
No, they're not.
I know. And I feel like a lot of Giant fans, and man, I hope the Giants win and give us a little juice along with the Yankees and get a second win and just at least get into October. But to me, the Saints are not nearly as decrepit as, like, Tennessee's like a JV team. The Saints are not that.
Well, Brian Callahan, and we don't have to spend a ton of time on it. I actually think, Rich Kotite is Bill Walsh compared to this guy.
Yeah, he doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know the rule book, Nick.
He doesn't know the rules, and he's the worst game manager I've ever seen. He's actually the worst. And think just as far as New Orleans goes, like, yes, they got blown out by Seattle in Week 3. They're down 21-0 before the game basically starts. Like, a long touchdown to Torrey Horton, a punt return, a turnover. And they're not as good as Seattle. That one got away from them. The other three games, they are ultra competitive in these games. Whether it's San Francisco in Week 2 with Mac Jones a quarterback.
Bills.
Week 1 against Arizona where Juwan Johnson drops that ball at the end of the game. It could have sent it to overtime. They probably would have gone for 2 and maybe would have won. And then last week against Buffalo, BT, to your point there, like, you had the Chris Olave Philly special that Cole Bishop picks off at the goal line. And Rattler missed Olave on a long touchdown pass. I'm not saying the Saints would have won the game. They wouldn't. But the final score would have been way closer than the 12-point final. And we might be thinking differently about this game. Now, I don't think the Saints will roll over the Giants. But again, like, you're making me pick the winner of the game, I would take New Orleans for now with the information we have.
Who would you take in a knockout pool this week? Tricky week here if people are still around. And certainly use certain teams or whatever. I had a hard time finding a great pick that I feel good about. You have a knockout pick that you would use this week?
Well, I'm maybe not the best person to ask because...
Who'd you get? Who got you?
The Rams last night.
Oh, you did!
The Niners home game.
It was the last thing. I'm going to say something that's really awful, but I mean it. I wish the Yankees had lost last night instead of the Rams.
Well, shut up, man. Wow. Come on, what are you doing? You're not a Yankee fan right here.
And I could stay,
you're not a Yankee fan.
And
I won't let you finish. That's ridiculous, right?
And I can,
that is ridiculous.
I don't know if I mean that. But
okay, there you go.
It's the last thing I thought about when I went to sleep, and the first thing I thought about this morning was the Rams, because I'm in, like, it was a big contest, and it's very unfortunate that happened. Yeah, it's one of those, like, created in a laboratory to torture you as a better and as a player.
And I don't get that game either, because on the surface, now, I personally, just my format is I stay away from division games, and that's one of the reasons why. I try to stay away from road teams early on. Can't do that this week. I'm going to go with the Lions. I don't have the Bills left. Again, division game, whatever it may be.
Take Arizona.
Yeah, well, I don't trust Arizona, and that's kind of my point. Like, I made my decision going with Detroit, who I believe is the best team, even though they're on the road, as opposed to getting in bed with a team like Arizona, who, yeah, they should beat the Titans, but I don't think Arizona's that good.
I don't disagree. And look, like, the survive, that's why it's tough, right?
Yeah.
I'd take Arizona because, look, I don't trust the Cardinals either, but we just detailed that the Titans have maybe the worst coach in the history of the league. So you bet against that guy. Calvin Ridley's probably not going to play. I'm being serious. Like, Calvin Ridley's probably not going to play. They're going to be starting two rookie receivers with a rookie quarterback and a moron head coach. Yeah. So I'd take Arizona.
I got you. Hey, in a month, Nick, from now, I know they got a tough one coming up this weekend up in Buffalo, almost 7-point dogs here. But in a month, are we taking the Pats a little serious? Like, what's their trajectory? I don't have a great – I love Vrabel. I have a great read. What's your read on them?
I think I have a good answer for you here. So coming into the year – I don't know that there was anyone, I'm sure like some people, you think they were going to win the Super Bowl. I liked the Patriots more than almost anybody this year. So I bet them over the win total. I bet them to make the playoffs.
Wow.
The reason why, and I think I've been proven right in the first 4 weeks, the quarterback is a monster.
He's good.
He's tremendous. And this just goes back to like all those. Remember those Tommy DeVito wins a couple years ago? Wow, it was so much fun. You know what would be more fun? Drake May is the Giants quarterback. Yep. He's special. He's great. So I give you that to now give you this. I love the Patriots. I bet them last week. I had them in Survivor last week against Carolina. I think the Bills are going to stomp them on Sunday night. Buffalo's getting a couple players back on defense from injury. Ed Oliver, who's their best defensive player, and linebacker Matt Milano. And very quietly, Sal, I'll talk about this Sunday morning, Milton Williams, who, if you watch the Super Bowl, like terrorized Patrick Mahomes on the Eagles' defensive line. Patriots gave him largest ever deal in free agency for a defensive tackle. He has been a beast for the Patriots in the middle of that defensive line. He didn't practice yesterday, got injured in practice. If he doesn't play, it's a big deal. And I don't think the Patriots can match the Bills score for score. I think Buffalo names its number in the game. So I really like the Patriots. I think the Bills boat race them on Sunday night.
Thanks, Nick. We appreciate your time as always. Congrats on your Yankees advancing to the division series. We'll talk to you next week. Listen to you Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Appreciate it. Wishing everybody Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck. Let's go, Yankees.
Attaboy.
Oh, God.
You made amends.
Right. That was the host of You Bet or You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of your calls, get back into the Yankees. If the Mets coaching changes does anything for you, you can call about that as well. Our picks will be coming up. Perfect Parlay Pick Segment Week 5. That's at 1:20. Plenty more to get to. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.